what is going on? It's another wonderful week here at The Focus. We had so much fun. We had some discussions before the camera started. Juice is already flowing. You know, we already started talking about the quarterback that plays for that Washington football team. But we're going to leave that alone until Octavia gets into her NFL East segment, the first, which we can't wait to hear. Isn't that right, Octavia?
That is correct.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say, because as an Eagles fan, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be biased, right? Anyways, though, man, we're happy to be here. The video you guys just saw to open the show was, if you paid attention to the show last week, we had Brian Inge and Marcus Houghton here for DMV Elite 80. The event happened this past weekend. Our Cardale Dudley was there. No surprise. He was in the gym with a lot of young prospects. So that being said, Cardale, you know, tell us what you thought about the DMV Elite 80 this year, sir.
I'm not going to say the best. It was one of the best I've seen since they started. It was very competitive. Thank God everybody that was supposed to be there showed up for the most part. I like that they competed. They competed from opening drills, warm-ups. Before the game started, you know, you could tell guys were there to really show everybody why I am who I am, why I'm getting these offers, and why you're not. And I really appreciated that. We need that more. And, you know, it was much needed, man. You know, DMV Lee did a great job getting the right type of players. The coaching was good. The training, you know, it was just a first-class event, you know, for the most part. As usual, there were a lot of standouts. Bear with me. I got to give them a lot. It was over 100 players.
Who made the list for the show? Who made the list for the show, and how did you figure out the criteria?
Who stood out? Okay. Sometimes you just got to go in there and don't just throw all that out the window. Just show me, you know what I'm saying? And these are the players that stood out. Not in no particular order. I like Matt Ballant out of Springbrook. You know, 2018 6'3 guard, explosive as hell. Oh, my Lord Jesus. He get a step, it's a dunk. He's not laying nothing up. Very explosive guard. I love his potential. He had a consistent jumper. You know, he can go far with it. Earl Timberlake, y'all will be hearing about a lot about him. He's at DeMatha, 2020 guard. You know, 6'6, do everything. Sneaky athletic, versatile, you know. Kind of in that D-Wade mode. He don't have the strength yet, but he will. Obviously, being at the math, they will develop him. So, he will get there in no time. His future's crazy bright. Gibson Jemison, y'all probably heard a lot about him from Ange being on the show. Played for the Blue Devils, a sniper. Sneaky gamer. You know, really crafty. Like, in a Chris Muller mode, you know what I'm saying? But he's a righty. 2019 guard, 6'6 guard. He's definitely going to open eyes if y'all don't know about him out there already. Another one, Donovan Toley. It was a chalk outline, and he scored 10 straight on his dude ISO. Once he figured out he's the point guard for Riverdale Baptist, 5'8", 2018. But when he knows you cannot guard him, he's mean with
10 straight ISOs though.
No, 10 straight points, not okay. 10 straight. Five straight move. Cross dude over. It was like, yo, they had to call timeout. Yeah, with the running clock, they had to call timeout to get Youngin' out of there because it was getting that bad, and I was like, man.
I'm like, switch.
He's very competitive. He's competitive like Patrick Beverly competitive. So, but you know, he got the offensive game with it. So when he get mad, it's
quick question: as a smaller guard, you know, think of another smaller guard that's came out of the area. Is his game at all similar to Likes? At all?
Likes had more shiftiness. This dude don't play around with you. He gonna just use his quickness about go past, shoot the jump.
He doesn't play with his food.
Yeah, he's just about getting the buckets, getting you about it. He's a killer, and that's what I love about him. Edward Newton out of McKinley Tech in D.C., 2019. He's going to prep in the 2020 class, 6'7", 4". Love his game. Anwar Gill from Gonzaga. You will be hearing a lot about Gonzaga, obviously, with the WCAC. Really fundamentally sound player, knows what he is, and don't step out of that. That's what makes him good. 6'4" guard, 2019. Shaheen Gilkerson, you know, Chris Roan, that's his point guard for Virginia Academy, star point guard, 2018, 6 foot guard, one of the best two-way guards in high school in the area. Loves to play defense. He's one of the few that, like, loves it. Like, he 94 feet, Ojo-esque with it. But, you know, he's a jump away from being all around just nasty. You know, he can get to the hole, he can finish, he's tough. Once he had a jumper, it's over. The kid who stole the show, he's actually, I think, from Turkey. He's a transfer to John Carroll. His name, Yavuz Kutekin. 2019, 6'7" guard. So he came in there dunking. Like, he was on some, like, T-Mac ABCD camp stuff. Like, everybody, like, he jumped out to the point where coaches were like, yo, who is he? And then I was like, oh, I think that's the kid that's going to John Carroll. They was like, man, John Carroll, because he's going to be playing with Manuel Quickly, who's the highest-ranked player in the area. Then Montez Mathis, who's one of the top shooting guards there, just committed to Rutgers.
So that perimeter is real over there.
Yeah, they're like, oh, man, John Carroll. Yeah, it was real. And he's special. And he has a Ginobili-type game. But he has no fear. Like, he, and when he gets his stuff, like I said, when he gets his stuff, he tried to dunk. But he has already NBA athleticism, windmilling, one leg, catching lobs. I seen him in drills. He shot a jumper. He knew he was going to miss. And he took a step off the vertical, went above everybody, one hand, just cocked and dunked on everybody. Like, he's stupid. And the thing is, he's still raw. Like, you can still see the rawness. So when they add that athleticism with the training to him, he build up, get stronger. Add a jumper, it's definitely high major, and he got a shot at the league. Like, I don't throw that out there too
often. What year is he? I'm sorry, I missed that
part. He's going to be a junior.
Okay.
He graduated 2019. He's already made his name up for himself over there, and, you know, FIBA, the lower level FIBA junk, so he's on his way. Another kid that a lot of people around here should be familiar with, he had a story written on him by ESPN before he even played high school, Shea Evans Jr.
Yeah.
Out of Delaney, 2020 guard, 6'7". You know, Melo. I mean, that's who he looked like. Young Carmelo Anthony, that's how he plays. Breaks you down, smooth, jumper, got the size, sneaky athletic, you know. And he knows what to do. He know how to put the ball in the bucket, you know, simple as that. Jason Murphy, another Baltimore area kid. You know, you're going to see a lot of Baltimore doing it out there. They really stacked out there. Jason Murphy out of St. Francis, 2019, 6'8", workhorse forward. Demetrius Mims out of Baltimore Poly, defending Maryland State champions, star guard, Long Beach State commit. 2018 class 6'6 guard. You know, he do a little bit of everything. You know, he's sharp, athletic, big guard, take you off the dribble, off the bounce, pull up, mid-range game on point. You know, I love his talent. He stood out. Ace Baldwin, that's another kid. You got another 2020, one of them young kids that you got to keep an eye on. He's special. He's at St. Francis, too. 2020, like I said, 5'11 point guard, does it all already. Already understands how to run a position. And he really has no weaknesses in this game. It's just a matter of this, you know, he's going to keep growing and if that athleticism going to come and match everything he has. He has all the tools already. Darius Hines, he really impressed me. I didn't really know much about him before then. And he's just a consummate floor general, kind of what me and Dama was talking about. But he can shoot. He lets the game come in. Whatever the team needs, he can deliver. And that's what makes him special. And he knows every situation. 5'11 guard, you know, 2018. Yeah, another kid, Braden Gard, out of Battlefield, Virginia, 2018, 6'4 guard. Same thing. It's steady shooter, sniper. That's the game come to him. He don't really step outside himself, and that's key. A lot of players try to do too much, and it messes them up. He knows what he is, and he stays within that. But he got some shift with him. Like, in the highlight, you know, he came down on the break, gave a dude a dribble, spent off him in one motion, left hand and lay up in traffic, you know, so... You know, don't think of him as the typical, you know, I hate to say it, but it is real, you know, typical white boy when you guard him. He'll mess you up. You know what I'm saying? Ricky Lindo, you know, you should know about him. That's Wilson's best player. You know, Angelo came on the show 2018. He's going to prep in a 2019 class 6'8 wing. I always say he kind of remind me a lot of Tayshaun Prince. That's his game. He do a little bit of everything. Rary Hustle, he did it on both ends. So I love what he brought. Another one I just got introduced to, Churchill Bounds. Steven Decatur, 2020, big, 6'9". He's not very athletic, but he's skilled as hell. Like, he went to the block, jump hooks. He got all that mid-range, can step out, shoot the three-pointer. You know, he's a problem. And he got time to develop that, change his body, to get more athleticism and to thrive. Justin Lewis, another youngin' out of Baltimore Poly. They're going to be a problem again. 2020, 6'7 guard. I mean, sneaky athletic, man. I keep saying sneaky because you don't expect them to do it. Especially being as young as he is, but I seen him go coast to coast and dunked on a couple dudes, you know. I mean, his talent, if Shea's probably number one with that class as far as the top players in that 2020 class, he's right below him, like second or third. So he's right there neck for neck, and he knows how to play the game as well. Christian Jones, man, he like in the microwave, man. I don't know what's up with that kid, man. Like, out of Annapolis, 2018, 6'2". God, could nobody guard him off the bounce? He's not nasty like Kyrie with it. Like I said, he gets you off balance and he goes and he's strong, he compact, he finishes. Could nobody keep him out the lane? And he just did what he wanted. I mean, he's definitely going to be one of the top scorers in the area. Matthew Auerbach, W.T. Wilson, 2018 6'5 guard, another sniper, another shooter. I don't know, W.T. Wilson pumping them out. There's a couple of them on his list, man. So I think they're defending state champs too. So, I mean, out of Virginia, so I see why. Allen Blunt, another Gonzaga player, 2018 6'6 guard. another one. He's more of an athlete than Anwar, but he has skill as well. But he relies more on athleticism and his length. You know, he's 6'6", but I think he's long enough. He got like a 6'9 wingspan, so that's what his versatility is. EJ Jarvis out of Murray in D.C. 2019, 6'8", 4 center, sneaky athletic kid, you know, shot blocker. But now, you know, I remember him last year when they won the DCS AA. And then one summer, I see he got a mid-range now. Like, he don't hesitate. He's just knocking. Yeah, exactly. And so I love that about him. He's improving. Kenneth Tyree, our Friendship Tech, D.C., 2018 5'9 guard. Another one of those feisty guards out of D.C. Real highly competitive, keep an eye on. Judah Jordan, Capital Christian, Maryland, 2019 6'2 guard. Quiet assassin. Like, he don't say much, but he just tears you up, man. He loves the one-on-one battle. Like, if he see a mismatch, he has no problem exploiting that. And he kills you quietly. Like, you could just tell how he rolls. He just knows he's nice. And, he don't have no bashful about – he's not bashful about showing it. Kashawn Hobbs out of Duval, another one, 2018 6-foot guard, another strong guard, loves to attack the basket and finish. Josiah Marable, he's different. He's built more like tractor trailer back in the day, Michigan, whatever.
Okay.
Out of Wilson, you know, so defending the DCIAA champion, so they're going to be a problem again this year. 2018, he's going to prep in the 2019 class, too, 6'8". But he a big boy. They couldn't do nothing with him. They couldn't keep him off the boards. He finished whenever he wanted. Even when he was in traffic, they was bouncing off of him. He was still converting layups. So he's going to dominate in the DCIAA that way. Nate Spurlock, W.T. Wilson, like I said, 2018 6'7", 4. He's definitely a poor man's Chris Muller because he has the size more so. But he don't have the shiftiness, but he has the size, the IQ, and he's just a bucket, man. He can move without the ball. He knows where to go to be effective to get the offensive rebound and score. I mean, you know, that's his game. So he's perfect for the college game. And another guy from PG, you probably heard of Daniel Oladipo. Not Oladipo, Oladipo. Bladensburg, Maryland, 2018. With prep in 2019 class, 6'6 guard. He's a smaller, less explosive Jared Wallace. So, that's it.
It's not bad at all. That's impressive.
That's a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, I had the number now, but like I said, it was one of the best they had in their 5-year run, and it's going to be loaded. But definitely, obviously, pay attention to everything. I'm going to be bringing it, but Baltimore going to be heavy this year. They're going to be loaded.
That makes somebody in the room happy.
I mean, they ain't no secret. Baltimore got it. Like, they're going
to
be loaded.
But as always, you guys head over to find more about the DMV Elite 80. Head over to financemagazine.com. Going to take a quick break when we get back. Local coverage. You guys know what it is. We're going to talk a little bit of Mystics. That first quarter just ended in Minnesota. They advanced, if you didn't know by now, to the semifinals, which is kind of like the men's version of the conference finals, because they did away with conferences in playoffs on the WNBA side, which I wish the men would follow. But the Lynx lead 26-18 after one. You're watching the Focus. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. What's going on, everybody? We're back. Octavia, not even. We're going to talk about that later. But we're back from break. I don't even want to know because I'm seeing y'all's faces at the moment. So we're back from break. As we told you, we're going to talk about the Mystics real quick. Quick update on their score right now. It's 28-19. They are in Minnesota for the first part of this 5-game series. They play game two. Minnesota's up.
Okay.
They play game two on Thursday night. And then they'll play game three here in D.C. on Sunday. So that's how that series is going. As far as Mystics notes, real quick, let me pull out my handy-dandy book. They beat the Wings, then they beat the Liberty. The win over the Wings, we saw that at home. We were here for that. It was literally just showing them, trying to change the narrative that they're a soft team, that some teams see them as soft and think that they could bully them. In the Liberty game, we saw them go down early, and then Chrissy Tolliver reminded everybody why she's Chrissy Tolliver. They went through a couple games this season where her shot just wasn't quite falling right, but you know, big time players do big things and big moments, and she came through for them. Hit 9 threes, 10-20 from the floor, 9-15 from three. They needed every one of those 32 points to come out that hole. And then defensively, they did a great job, especially Crystal Thomas. I know we keep saying unsung hero all season, but I mean, there's a reason for it. The job that she did on Tina Charles, the 4-8-17 shooting. Sure, there were times that they sent another person, but for the most part, they were able to kind of limit the Liberty during that 15-0 run they had in the third quarter, which is when they really won the game. I think they outscored New York 25-10 in that quarter. Could be wrong. And if I am wrong, you can head over to My Mind on Sports and check our recap of the game and also go to financemagazine.com. That being said, big shouts to Crystal Thomas for the job she did on Tina Charles. Then as a team, defensively as a whole, as of right now, they've made a little headway. They cut the deficit to 7 in Minnesota. That's a tall task. taking on the Lynx. The Lynx and the Sparks are in the middle of like their round two of their Cleveland Golden State type rivalry in the WNBA side of things. So right now, Phoenix and Washington are the two teams that stand in the way of them meeting again. Mm-hmm. So both games happen tonight. So for Washington, it's imperative, Cardell, you and I talked, that the Washington bigs, that they hold their own on the board. Sylvia Fowles and stuff is a reason that she's went nuts this year. Is a reason that Minnesota's able to do what they do, is because you can literally book 20, at least 20 and 10 for her each and every night. So you want to talk about, you know, just share some of the conversation we had about the keys to this matchup for Washington if they want to advance.
I mean, it's all on the front court. I mean, honestly, to beat the Lynx, the entire team wants to play. Like, yeah. If, whatever your role is, you got to do that role. You can't afford for you to come in and have an all game, because that's how experienced, that's how talented, and that's how strong and competitive the Lynx are. But to me, the key is the front court. Like, even though Tolliver went off and Mystics won, she shouldn't really had to do that.
Yeah.
Emma can't have 5 points, you know, on the road if the Mystics are going to beat the Lynx.
It makes you feel better. She already has 5.
Yeah, but whoever's guarding Fowles has 9 points and 5 rebounds already. Yep. So, you see what I'm saying? Like, she's already on the road, and Maya and Rebecca and Simone, and they doing what they do. That's the problem. They deep, and that's the hope. That's what I'm saying. The girls gonna have to step up in the bench.
Yeah,
and the bench got to produce even more.
They can't turn the ball over. They did a great job against the Liberty not turning the ball over. You got to win a rebounding battle, turnover battle, and that's just to put you in a good position.
Yeah, but that's a hurry game. You I don't care. You playing against the worst team in the league. You can't turn the ball over. They're gonna beat you. I mean, they're still pros. But again, I get what you're saying. The less you beat yourself, the better. Yeah. But at the same time, it's the physicality, not just on defense, on rebounding, even on offense. Sometimes you just got to take it at them. Let them know you're there, because they sense any softness, they going, especially this game, they're going to
pray with you.
And Deladon can't try to muscle her way to 40 and stuff like that all the time. Emma, she's well-equipped. She got to bring it. You know, like I see Deladon got 5 and 5 already. You know, Emma got to bring it, man. So it's that front court, because that's what's going to be the key. I think Sierra, she's going to battle Maya. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop Maya, but she's going to battle Maya. And they got a host of bodies to throw at Maya. It's Sylvia and Bronson.
Rebecca. That's literally it. Because Simone and Maya, you can live with them kind of getting their own. You want to slow down Lindsay, obviously. Mm-hmm. You hope that Maya at least works for hers. But like you said, that front court is everything with the front court. Mm-hmm. The Rebecca and Sylvia are a problem, as evidenced by, you know, they made some of the all-league teams already. Those lists came out today. And the last thing with the Mystics, we talk all the time that we both feel TRP is like arguably the best on-ball defender in the league, and she didn't make either one of the two all-defensive teams, which is a joke.
Because she's not a star. They had a number of names on there.
But this is my thing is, you know, and again, for the growth of the league, you have to watch more than just the team in the area that you cover. Mm-hmm. And that's what it just shows me. You're not doing justice to the league by not watching everybody play. You can watch 3 Mystic games and come away knowing that without her contributions, they don't.
They're not the same thing.
You know?
And she literally guards the 1 through the 4.
Yeah.
Like it's not just her position. Mm-hmm. She guards point guard. She guards. She go in there and guard 6'5 centers and hold her own. She don't back down, guard 94 feet, half court. She traps. A lot of times when the Mystics get beat, she's the one come over there and knocking the ball out of bounds to save the layup or save the play. It's so many things she does. She's their spirit. She's their toughness spirit, and they're not nearly as good without her, because they're so, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's the dog with that. She's the spirit of that team. She's the heart of that team. So, it's like what you see going on across sports. They're trying to promote the league from dollars and stuff, so they're promoting names, but you can't tell me she's not one of the 10 top defensive players in the league.
You can't tell me she's not a top 5 defensive player.
That's my point.
Like, I can't accept her at 6. I just can't. Like, there's a problem at 5B. So they definitely, you know, we appreciate you here, TRP. You definitely make our all defensive team. On to DC United real quick. Over the week, you know, past couple weeks, we're on a 3-game win streak. It was snapped over the weekend against Orlando at home, RFK. Orlando was able to get out on them early, and then they held on. They won 2-1. Attended training today. Rob Vincent's running on grass for the first time since he got injured, so that's great. Ian Harkes is back. Coach said that he looked sharp after the last 10 days of training. So it's at least me, I'm anxious to see, you know, once Ian's healthy enough to get plugged in the midfield. I know Marcelo and Russell have done great, to see Ian in there with what the midfield might look, you know, the future of that midfield looking what we might see next year. And then, you know, they were talking about the matchup in Chicago. They just want to spoil Chicago's weekend, just like Orlando spoiled their weekend last weekend. That's kind of the mindset for DC heading into Chicago this week. Octavia, your debut segment of the NFC East is here in local coverage. So,
well, I'm going to start it off a little bit different for the first edition. Okay. I wanted to give a little bit of love to the home teams for every since we always talk about, you know, local coverage and the teams in the area. I'm going to leave the Redskins for last. I'm going to start with the Ravens. Ravens went out and surprised a lot of people this weekend.
Yes, I didn't know Flacco was playing.
A lot of people didn't know either. I'm pretty sure he didn't know either. But no, Bengals and the Ravens in Cincinnati. Yep. Baltimore came right away with the win, 20-0. Let's just, I said 20-0. Like, shutout, beginning of the season, division game, always important. One of my biggest takeaways from this game was the defense. Four interceptions by four different secondary.
So that's why they was booing Dalton, I heard. Okay, makes sense.
Four interceptions by four different. Ladarius Webb, C.J. Mosley, Jimmy Smith.
Good gosh.
And...
oh, my gosh.
Brandon Carr, I'm sorry. There we go.
Brandon Carr? Dallas Brandon Carr? Oh, wow. Okay.
Not only, then you got Terrell Suggs get a forced fumble. Like, it was bad, so that's why they were booing Andy Dalton. Of course, Joe Flacco didn't play in the preseason, didn't play do much during training camp, only really had about a week to get ready. He did decent, you know, looked a little rusty, of course, just getting back on the field. His numbers ended up being... He ended with 121 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 9-17. Not terrible. Of course, he needs to step it up for them to continue this push. It was, you know, Flacco. It is what it is. One thing also that I definitely took away from it, that the Ravens are having a lot of injuries build up. Danny Woodhead out 6 to 8 weeks, and they're still determining with Za'Darius Smith. They're not sure if it's a knee or an ankle. It sounds like both. They're still doing MRIs and still testing. They haven't come right out yet and say how long he's going to miss. So that's definitely something they have to look into, because they already started with about 11 players on injured reserve as it is. So, you know, they're definitely taking it a little bit hard. So hopefully they get rested up some. Another takeaway from that game, Jeremy Maclin, new acquired as a Raven, got his first touchdown as a Raven. You do know Jeremy Maclin has a hard time getting touchdowns. So it was a good sign for him, although it was only two receptions, 156 yards. The pass that he got was a 48-yard to the house. Most of that was yards after the catch. Caught it wide open, kept it moving. So, I mean, it was good points with Baltimore. Definitely, you know, excited to see what happens next week, to see what they do. On to the home team, your beloved Washington Redskins. I was in attendance. I was in attendance at FedEx Field for the game. And I will first say, because this was my first game at FedEx, it was a good atmosphere. You know, it was fun. It was, you know, entertaining. Everybody seemed to be really into the game. With that being said, some of the things I took away from the game, just looking on the Redskins side, you know, not being biased. The fact that Kirk Cousins was your leading rusher, serious issue. Yeah. Serious issue. Kirk Cousins rushed for had four carries for 30 yards. He tied with Robert Kelly, who had 10 rushes for 30 yards. So that's one of your biggest issues right there as well. You got your quarterback, you know, tying with your leading starting running back for rushing yards. Definitely something that they need to get together. Another part of this situation, Terrell Pryor. Of course, everybody is, you know, beating down on him. He's beating down on himself. He actually had a quote that he said, "I put this game on myself. I definitely let my teammates down. I'll hold my chin up high and work harder, but I don't like that. Right now I'm shooting myself in the foot for dropping the ball. I'm really pissed at myself. And you guys can beat me up on that." He was 6'4", 11, 66 yards, 5 drops that were key drops. It wouldn't have been as bad if those drops weren't pivotal in the game. A lot of the drops that he had could have put them in position to score. A lot of, at least one that I can think off the top of my head, would have been a touchdown if he caught it. So it completely changes the dynamic of the game, completely changes everything. So that's definitely something that, you know, we understand. He's only 2 years in at being a wide receiver, but those catches that he definitely has to make. I still have questions as far as, do Redskins fans really believe in Kirk Cousins as the future? There was a lot of mixed reviews in the stadium when I was there. Of course, lately, I mean, recently, Kirk just came out. He did put some of the blame on the offensive line, which, of course, he would. And, I mean, there is merit in it, but the offensive line is not having you throw interceptions. You know, you still have to be smart in being a quarterback and making sure that you're making the correct decisions. Now, of course, everybody wants to know about the controversial call at the end of the game. I'm going to be honest, and I am an Eagles fan. Everybody knows that. I thought they were going to overturn it. I honestly did. Reading what the referee said and the reason why they didn't, they just didn't have conclusive evidence to overturn it, so they went with the call that was on the field. It was a tricky call. You know, of course, them being on the field, they couldn't really tell. I don't know what angles they see when they look at this tablet since they're not going under the hood anymore. There were a couple of questionable calls in the game as well. There was a call where Darren Sproles caught the ball. It looked like it hit the ground first. I thought they were going to overturn that as well. They didn't. But all in all, those calls didn't decide the game. You know, I definitely do want to give shouts out to their defense because their defense did step it up a lot. Their defense, to me, was the reason why they were in the game as long as they were. You know, I saw the pick six as soon as the ball left Wentz's hand. I didn't even get up because I saw it the whole way. I was like, it's over for that one. So let's go ahead and move past that. Looking forward to see what happens with the Redskins going forward as far as, you know, the miscues and the missteps that they had this week. I believe they play the Chargers next week.
Nah, they're going to take on Sean McVay and the Rams, the old offensive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I knew it was the LA team. It's too many of them now.
There are.
But to kind of round it out quickly with the NFC East, Giants, they just need offense. 3 points is not going to cut it. Of course, they're missing Beckham. But, you know, Shepard, Brandon Marshall, all those people have to step it up to figure something out because 3 points isn't going to cut it against anybody. Dallas, of course, they always, you know, tend to battle with, you know, the Giants. The Giants, you know, beat them 2 times last year, so I'm pretty sure that they were excited about, you know, getting together. Dez Bryant, you know, 2 catches. I can't even remember how many yards. It wasn't enough. I believe he said Janoris Jenkins got lucky.
It's the second time.
Yeah, right? So I wish he would stop letting him get lucky, I'm pretty sure. Okay, cool. So round it off with my Eagles. I'm excited. You know, of course, starting the season off with a win is always a big deal, especially the fact that we haven't beat the Redskins in the past, at least season. I'm not sure if it's two. Like I can't think back. Yeah, it's been a while. I was excited to see Wentz move more and be able to get out the pocket and deliver. And the one thing that I kept saying at the stadium, who has Nelson Aguilar turned into?
He turned into
I've never seen him catch the ball this much.
He turned into the guy he was at USC.
Man, I was like, who is not? Because, you know, since Alshon Jeffrey came over, now Jeffrey's 17 and Aguilar has changed to 13. So it didn't register in my head. And I'm watching a game like, who is 13? And who is this catching the ball like this?
It's confidence.
And what I think is partially that, and I definitely think that I think the competition has stepped up. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to realize, like, okay, it's real wide receivers out here that I will not be playing if I don't get it together. So I believe that the addition of Torrey Smith as well as Alshon Jeffrey has lit a fire underneath him. We also had some injuries. Darby, which killed us. Because to me, they didn't score an offensive touchdown until after he got hurt. So Darby getting hurt kind of hits us, especially because we just picked him up. Sturgis is going to be out, I believe, 4 weeks. We just picked up a rookie kicker. So Kind of nervous about that as well. But, you know, next week we play Kansas City, so we'll see what happens.
All right, well, Octavia, we thank you very much. This is the end of local coverage. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Hey, look, the show's going to continue, man. You're watching The Focus. Welcome back. Welcome back to The Focus, man. We got a little surprise, a little twist here. Instead of rapid fire, we're going to do something just as hotly contested. How about that? We saw some different outlets and publications put lists out of top players in the league, top 25 players to be exact. Yeah, and I think what spurned this decision was the Lonzo Ball over Melo thing that kind of drove everybody nuts because it doesn't make any sense. But, Cardell, it was your idea, man. Let's get going. And a quick update real quick from the Mystics. They are trailing by 12 at the moment. It's 43-31 at the half.
All right, I'm gonna go through kind of quick. I'm gonna start from 25, work my way up. 25th, I have Nikola Jokic.
Whatever. Hey.
24th, I give it to Blake Griffin. 23, I don't know why he gets overlooked, but Hassan Whiteside. 22nd, Gordon Hayward. You know, rightfully so. I love what he did last year. 21st, Draymond Green. 20th, Mike Conley, who I think is the most underrated point guard in the league.
That's not a player. Agreed.
19th, I have Klay Thompson. Self-explanatory. 18, DeMar DeRozan. 17, Isaiah Thomas. I hope his hip get better, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But based on what he did last year, self-explanatory. 16, Jimmy Butler. 15, DeMarcus Cousins. 14, you know, Chris Paul. You know, I feel like a lot of people give him a – he's a dog, but I feel like a lot of people give him a pass over the years, and I feel like a lot of point guards have leaped him. You know, it's just real, so they can get mad. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
13th, Damian Lillard, another player who's underrated.
Who all get the this, time.
Yeah, it seems like this is crazy how they treat him. Karl Anthony Towns, he's a dog. I mean, arguably the best center in the league. Now he got to put the wins behind him. Otherwise, he will drop, and there's no excuse now. 11th, Paul George. 10th, I have John Wall. 9th, Kyrie Irving. 8th, James Harden. I know a lot of people are like, you second MVP, but – you know, you'll understand when I name these other players. 7th, Anthony Davis. 6th, Greek Freak. 5th, Steph Curry. 4th, the reigning MVP, Russell Westbrook. 3rd, Kawhi Leonard. 2nd, Kevin Durant. And, of course, 1st, LeBron James. That's my 25.
Man, so, as always, you know, we agree in some places, disagree in others. I love where you're at, Whiteside, because I don't think he gets nearly enough love for what he is and the position that he plays. All right, so... probably for me, I'm probably going, my biggest changes was I had Klay and Dre a little bit higher than you did. That's the only thing, really. But I like that you had IT in there. I'm in the top 20 because I think some people don't respect. You know, on some people's list, I think they would probably forget him out of the top 25 easily. Just, you know, just, and again, when I say this, talk about the masses. I know I talk to y'all, y'all know what I mean, y'all. Not talk about anything and anybody. Anybody with inside the focus. I'm not talking about us. Talk about y'all out there on the other side of the screen. Guess for me, I had Dre at 16. I had CP3 at 15. Boogie at 14. Klay at 13. Cat at 12. And I was really... I got Kyrie at 11, which I'm sure some people probably have him much higher. I got Wall at 10. PG at 9. James at 8. AD at 7, Giannis at 6, Russ at 5, got Kawhi at 4, Steph at 3, KD at 2, and Bron at the 1 at the top spot for me. So.
Well, I'm going to say I kind of agree with both of y'all. I think it's kind of touchy when we get into the top 25. A lot of people, you know, felt like they should be ranked higher than they are. I definitely agree with the Dame situation because I think the players that play in smaller markets sometimes don't get their just due. Dame has been like dragging Portland into the playoffs every year, and that's overlooked a lot. I'm gonna be honest, I don't have a list right this second, but that's definitely something I'll be back with. But of course, I can, you know, I agree with the Kyrie around the 11 to 9 spot. Top five, everybody knows that. And of course you got LeBron at 1, Kevin at 2. I can actually, you know, agree with Kawhi at 3. I would put Steph at 4, and I would put Russ at 5. James Harden for me is around the 7 or 8 as well. You know, my whole issue with him is I just need a complete player. He doesn't do it for me on defense at all. So I need him to get that together. I got Clay around the 11-12 area as well. But, you know, it's a tight race. There's so much talent in the NBA today that it's really hard to kind of pinpoint. And everybody, of course, has their different ways of looking at situations and why they have players where they have them. But, of course, while we're on the situation and on the topic, I'm pretty sure that this is probably next. Lonzo Ball. Yeah, I believe he was ranked 45.
Yeah, we was getting that rapid fire real quick. That was my first question.
Go ahead. I mean, it's been brought to the table.
I'm pretty sure we're almost there.
I mean, you know, Slam Magazine released their top 50 players, and he was ranked 45th. I'm hearing ESPN released their rankings, and he was ranked, I think, a couple spots above Melo. Melo was like 64th or something like that. And I'm basically like, what the hell? You know, he hasn't even played a game, y'all, for summer league. And that just shows you where we are in sports. That hype stuff just to make money, it's crazy. It's overwhelming what's real. Like, no rookie should be top 50 yet. Like, I don't even care if you Shaq or Kareem or, you know, like,
just off the fact play. You just play first.
You got to earn it, man. Yeah. You know, so it's hard to give people credibility when it's stuff like that. That makes no sense.
And I just think it also adds, like we talk about almost every time when we bring him up, it adds another target on his back. And you guys know I'm a Melo fan. That's my guy. But I'm completely realistic when it comes to it.
But are you okay with the rankings like him that low?
No, I'm not. But I am realistic as far as I understand why he's probably not top 10, top 15, stuff like that.
Where
like,
would you have
him? I was like, I get it because of how people think. You know what I mean? When we talk about the masses.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, it's you got to look at the production of the player. I think a lot of times they just look at the team. But when you're evaluating them as an individual, you need to evaluate them as an individual. You know, you can't stop him from scoring. The only person that can stop him from scoring is him if he's just off, if he has an off night. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm used to the Melo hate, so I wasn't surprised when I saw it. But, you know, all that does is make him work harder. I don't know if you guys saw the Instagram post, but Hoodie Melo will be coming out soon, so we'll see what happens.
I just don't understand. Like, just understand. Like, you know, obviously he's not top 10 in the league. He's not top 15. That's cool. But to totally disrespect somebody, you know, his body of work, his entire career, to throw him 60 anything is ridiculous. To kick him out the top 50 is even more absurd.
I think they're just doing it for shock value. I really just think that's what it's about now. Just, you know, Michael Jordan's 10th all time now. You know, just something just to get people talking, just to get people to pay attention. I'm about to stop even following football again.
But I'm saying, we're talking about somebody, okay, you won Summer League MVP. You don't have a career average in the league yet, right? This dude, for 15 seasons, has averaged 20 points.
And something has to be said. Fine, you can make players around you better, but you still got to be able to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's the same as if you a scorer, but you can't pass. It's the same type of impact, you know. And like I said, that works in summer league. Those dudes ain't going to do that in the real game, if they're in the real game.
If they even make the team.
My point exactly. So let me get a couple more questions before we get off of here. Let me scroll down. You kind of – Baker Mayfield led Oklahoma to a 31-16 win over number 2 Ohio State.
Hey.
Sealing the deal with the Oklahoma flag plant in the middle of the field. But then he apologized for doing that.
Shouldn't have apologized.
Oh, is it warranted?
Shouldn't have apologized.
He's nicer to me.
No, like, I don't see the issue with it. It was a big win. It's cool. What's the problem?
And y'all sung y'all fight song. Yes. I feel, man, you look like I ain't cop a squat. But I mean, in the
I don't think it's but seriously, ignorant. Isn't this what, like, the whole culture of college sports is supposed to be? Playing for, like, the school and all this other stuff. So he kind of did that. That was a school's flag, not a personal flag, right? Mm-hmm. So, in the spirit of collegiate amateur athletics, what was wrong with what he did?
I loved it. Baker Mayfield, and y'all know, like, I'm trying to pay more attention to college football. Uh-huh. It's hard for me sometimes, but I actually watched the game. And I watched the game last week. I like him.
He's a dog.
I don't think he should apologize either. It's all in, you know, like we say, the sport, the fun of it, the college atmosphere. He ain't hurt nobody. They was yelling and screaming at him the whole game. So what?
Man, I'd apologize. I'd be like, I apologize for not doing more. That's what I'm like. Get out of here.
Man, that's crazy. I saw the apology. I was just like, Who made him do it and why?
I'm from the school. Like, if you don't want him talking trash or to beat him,
stop him.
If you the one to game.
I mean, they was number two ranked and they beat you. Like, y'all were number two. We came in, we beat y'all at y'all field.
I mean,
like,
well, of course. Secondly, y'all had no business being ranked number two. So that's another issue for another day. But go ahead, Cardell. Last question of the show.
Let me see. Bob Ryan says Duke can hold moral high ground. He says Duke has evolved to be manipulative and greedy and embracing one-and-done players. Is Mr. Ryan correct?
He said Duke can find moral ground, high moral.
Can't hold moral high ground anymore. You know how they used to get on, kind of throw shade at Cal for getting one-and-done?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so what? Like, I don't even understand the purpose of the statement. Like, that's just where we are in college sports. Like, Coach K gets paid to win, right? And if that's what you have to do to win, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, you can't do the moral. You can't talk down on anybody now that you did it. But my whole thing is just, I don't understand. I don't think there's a need for discussion on it. Like, it's just not that deep to me.
I mean, dog, your job is to get the best players you can.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what they're paying
you
for,
can't
right?
stop them from leaving.
So.
And that's my whole point. Kirk Cousins.
That's a great one.
After the Skins lost to the Eagles, said, I think the protection can be better. There's no doubt. Fair or foul for Cousins to criticize the O-line?
I'd say that you go first.
Foul. Don't hang your teammates out to dry like that. It's the first game of the season. You think you already talking trash about them? They going to want to protect you next week? Like, you got to, you know, I just feel like everybody should just take their part in the role.
Mm-hmm.
Let the offensive line take their responsibility as they take it. You're the quarterback. You're the leader of the team. You want to get a long-term deal. You got to produce. So, regardless – you better start running around and make a good decision and where to pass the ball.
Real quick, how to see Marvin Lewis or Jay Gruden?
I could tie my answers together from the last question and this one.
I'm going to say Jay Gruden.
I'm with Octavio on that because you tied yourself to this quarterback that can't take responsibility and accountability for the team's actions when it was you that decided to force the ball into two people when Jamison Crowder was wide open yet again. I don't know why it's so difficult for you to find Jamison Crowder who spends four quarters wide open. This is like the second year. You lost a playoff game like that before, too. You know, like, it's becoming a reoccurring thing. So it's hard for me. I don't understand how a quarterback says that. Like, the quarterback had the typical wide receiver answer, and the wide receiver had the quarterback's answer.
Didn't think about that, but you're right.
Terrell Pryor, a former quarterback, gave you the quarterback answer.
That is a great point.
Hey, just saying.
Last question. The NBA is evaluating draft lottery reform to discourage tanking. Is it a much-needed move?
Yes, because I'm tired of seeing people just lose for the heck of it. Like, I'm tired of seeing it. Like, if we're supposed to be the NBA, the best players in the world plays in this league, like, play to win. Like, I get the whole business aspect of it because you're trying to get good picks and everything like that. But play to win. If you lose, you lose. That's a different story. Like, if you just don't have the talent to beat the team, that's cool. But just doing it on purpose just so you can set yourself up for next year, like, play better and win better. Like, get better as a team. Like, get it together.
Yeah, I'm with Octavia. Like, just it. Front offices need to be held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone make keeps talking decisions. About the kids coming out of school. It's your decision to select said kid. That was your choice. Nobody put a gun to your head to make you take that kid. You could have took a proven college player.
And what people don't know what they mean draft lottery reform is, instead of, like, the worst team having 25% of the ping pong balls in there, they will actually bridge that gap. So the number one team might have 15% of it. So it's not as guaranteed that you would get the number one pick or have a high pick. Mm-hmm. So that would discourage you from tanking, because if you tank, Cleveland Cavaliers might get the number one pick again, and it's just like, oh, dang.
Anything to stop that, just because it's horrible.
Yeah,
because
it messes up a competitive balance, so play.
That's all that we ask. Like, y'all did compete, do it. From the top down.
Getting
you know, especially from offices,
a grip to do this,
people
man.
People still paying $2,000 for a seat.
Getting paid a grip.
Man, it's crazy. And then the whole time, you just like, oh, nah, we'll get them in 3 years. We got a three-year plan. What?
Give me my money back for 3 years.
Do the season tickets come with, like, a three-year plan? Because they don't. So that being said, I want to thank you guys for tuning into The Focus. As always, we implore you guys to get over to finestmag.com, get over to mymonosports.com. We're going to keep you guys updated with Mystics content the rest of the week. Right now, it is halftime. They're down 53-38 to the Lynx. You know, it's not over to the Fat Lady Saints. We're going to see what happens. But big second half is in need for the Washington Mystics. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same place.